Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good.
What's going on with you over there?
You know, it's one of the best days of the week because we get to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and
the best.
I was
really
at
the best
game night.
Of the best. The cream of the
best.
The creme of the creme.
Creme de la creme.
As the girl at Salt Lake City, the soul on SLC show says, the cream of the cremes.
Yes. I was at board game night last night and you texted me and you're like, how does this show do it every single week? I was like, I hadn't watched it yet. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. So excited for Salt Lake City.
I was just dying laughing. I mean, after last week, I thought, well, you can't really top that bat mitzvah episode. And they've already had so many good episodes. I'm just kind of in that mood where I'm like, well, you know, we get what we get. It was a good year. Let's like see whatever they do for the rest of the season. But goddamn, mm-hmm. That was funny. I was so good. Well done, show. You know what else is going to be so good? The Golden Crappies of 2025.
So true.
Which is coming up next month. We just had a meeting with a musical director. If that tells you,
director.
I mean, what a talented person. There was going to be so much cool shit happening this year at the Golden Crappies because we are on Broadway, biatch! So We're going to be at the Town Hall February 1st. Get your tickets now. You can find those at watchwhatcrappens.com. And guess what else? There's tickets for our Mounting Hysteria tour, which begins in January and is going to go for a few months all over America and a little bit of Canada. So go check that out over there. We still have some more cities coming. We're announcing Texas and Charlotte links next week. We've got Vegas links coming up soon. Not sure when, but very soon. And Other cities that we might add later because it's our prerogative. Yeah. And we're just going to go as many places as we'll have us. So thanks for that. Also, bonus episodes right now are sold on SLC Recaps over on Patreon. And that's also where you get our videos like this one. You can get them right when they're released, or you can get them for free by waiting a week and going to join our YouTube, which is free. So, you know, if you don't want to pay, girl, I don't blame you. You don't have to. Okay. We're here for all levels of financial stability, Ben, or financial wants. What am I saying?
If you're being foreclosed on, don't worry. We accept you.
Yeah. I don't mean it like that. I just mean, you know. Spend it or don't spend it. You know, we love you either way. The most important thing is you're here right now. You're letting us into your little ear canals.
We're in there. Get that eardrum ready because we're banging on it. So we're really excited. It's going to be a really exciting 2025. So excited for those crappies. Broadway. We're going to do it up this year. It's going to be big. But you know who else is doing it up is Salt Lake City. As we mentioned, I was so happy earlier this week. I was reading an article because it's December and this is the time when all the newspapers and magazines start coming out with their top 10 lists. And so, you know, the New York Times does their list of best TV of 2024. And of course, it's all prestige TV, blah, 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 blah. Totally, you know, not including all the wonderful reality TV that's out there. And I firmly believe reality TV provides as compelling narratives and comedy as anything you might find on FX or HBO, yada, yada, motherfucking yada. But I always read these top 10 lists and I it's like almost like I do it to get mad because I know that like they sure as hell are not going to include reality. And if they do, they do kind of like predictable reality, like Drag Race, which no shade to Drag Race, but like, you know, Drag Race wins the Emmy almost like every year. So it's like a thing that like people who are not reality fans are like, they feel okay dabbling in that. So I'm always like, ugh, the snobbery. And then Vanity Fair had one. It's like, you know, best reality of the year. I was like, ugh, now let's see what Vanity Fair says. The fuckers are going to be loving The Bear. They're going to love The Bear.
That's reality.
And
The Bear's nominated for comedy already. Just give Bear a Survivor's Award.
They're going to say Succession somehow. Although I like Succession. But like they're going to, I was like, I'm just ready. And guess what? Vanity Fair ranked this season of Salt Lake City amongst the prestige TV of best TV of 2024. So I have to say, good. That was my long-winded way of saying, how good is this season? Even Vanity Fair is appreciating it.
Fair, because that makes some damn sense, Vanity Fair. Well done.
Well done. They also, by the way, they also included The Traitors. So Vanity Fair, honestly, on trend. You know, they had a stumble with the with the Redemption, Reality Reckoning, I should say. But you know what? They're back on board.
Well, actually, speaking of that, the Reality Reckoning is on board as well. It's not on board, but it's still alive because Mark Garagos and his team released today that they are making headway with Love is Blind, and a court has decided that the Love is Blind cast is now considered employees of the network. So it means a lot different ways of being treated and all this stuff. So that actually, you know what? Bethany's over there like, Reality Reckoning! And Bethany is also just dissed Harry's sauce. I mean, there's so much going on. So
we'll talk about that on Monday
because that's going to be our final crappy hour of the year. And that was not meant to veer into another commercial about us. But Crappy Hour is our live bi-weekly show. It's so fun. It's 5:30 Pacific time over on YouTube Live. And we also stream it on Instagram when we can. So check us out. You'll love it. Okay, let's get into Salt Lake City.
Okay, well, we are in post-bat mitzvah. We are here at Meredith's house. She's in the kitchen with Seth, Brooks, and Chloe. And she's smelling different fragrances for her future bath bomb.
Oh my God. we have to stop. I'm so sorry. This is important. Okay, so sorry about that, everybody. Sorry, Christina. I just told Christina this morning, we're going to make your life easier from now on. We're going to try and get our audio right, blah, blah, blah. And then I do that. Okay, so here's what happened, why I had to stop the show. Look what I got yesterday.
Ooh, what is, ooh.
What is it? It's a handmade Lush.
Well, I don't care. Send me shit. I don't care if you saw my address. Okay, look at this. It says
cosmetics.
Handmade fresh cosmetics. I was like, what the fuck is that? Is it my semaglutides? Is it like lipstick made out of cupcakes? I don't know. What is, I'll use that. But then I opened it and then I thought, oh my God, because you know, I make the Crappy Awards every year for the Golden Crappies.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, somebody's sending me a prototype of this year's Crappy. Let me show it to you. Look at that. It's a little poop emoji. Like a crappy, right, Ben? Doesn't this look like a crappy? Well, guess what it is?
It's a dumpling.
It is Meredith Marks.
Oh.
Lush bath bombs and beauty. I am thrilled to partner with Lush, the original creator of the bath bomb, to bring an exclusive new product. Just as I cherish my baths, I approach my business collaborations with the same level of seriousness and intention. And partnering with a world-class brand like Lush, which embodies soul and purpose, aligns perfectly with my core values, signed Alibaba. It's Meredith. And it came with this, which is called a French kiss. So I think I'm just missing the little paper that makes this a Hershey's kiss.
Okay.
And then it comes with this thing, this co-mingle body scrub. And then it comes with another little snowflake bath bomb thing.
Beautiful. Like
I'm going to try and snort that later and see if that works. And then another little thing. Happy hippie shower gel. So anyway, thank you, Meredith. I have never been more excited to get a thing. And also, we should partner with Lush to do the Crappy Awards this year, so I don't have to do it. So thanks. And congrats on Lush. Everybody, go find Lush. You can find it. I don't know. I think you just have to search for it. You can scan this thing, but it says join us on at Lush North America on Pinterest. The other one's YouTube at Lush. Check them out.
Congratulations. Congratulations, yeah. Meredith Marks, on your bath bombs that look not unlike a poop emoji prototype.
I mean, what a way to end the year. Meredith Marks just sent us a golden crappy shaved bath bomb. What a fucking gift.
That is a dream. She is, I mean, God, I love Meredith. And it really makes me sad when Meredith and Angie fight because I want them to be friends. And I'm hoping that what happens at the end of this episode sticks.
Oh my God, I hope they're never friends. I love it.
I want them to be friends.
I love it. I love their Discord. Okay, so you're right. So we're at the house. It's all the whole family's there except the one who doesn't like to talk. Seth, Brooks, and Chloe are all there. And Meredith is smelling things and being like, what do you like better? The smell of roses or the smell of rosemary or the smell of... And Brooks is like, this one smells like the Four Seasons. And she goes, so does that mean you like it? And he's like, no.
All right, well, here's a woods fragrance. You want to try a woods fragrance? And Chloe's like, what do you do with all these scents? Well, they're going in the bath bombs and all the bath products. And maybe even they're going to scent a little bubble bath for my toddler. And Seth is like, all right, well, I'm still totally stuck on your bat mitzvah. Can we talk about bath? We can talk about bath time bombs anytime you want. Like, what the hell happened?
Well, what set me off was when Brooks, you came up to me and said, Mom, you should probably see what's going on with Brittany. Because she's crying, and then 1 minute later, she comes walking in, and I can see she has been crying, and she was very visibly shaken up, and I said, what's going on? And she said, she keeps slut-shaming me. I will not have hate at my bat mitzvah, and slut-shaming is hate.
I was like, oh, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God.
There'll be no slut shaming at the bat mitzvah. You know, Angie's behavior has been despicable. She can sit and cry that she was thrown out of a religious event in which she shamed other women, but I don't know why Angie is so consumed with Brittany's sex life. I think it's weird. And leave her alone. Angie continually hits below the belt. It's mean girl behavior. It's triggered the hell out of me. I'm not down for it. I am not down for it.
Now, of course, she wasn't, I mean, you know, Angie was screaming at her a lot. It's hard to stand up for Angie sometimes because, like, obviously she was in the wrong on a lot of stuff. But I think the point was that Brittany is acting like she's so offended after she's walking around, like, talking about all the dudes she's dating. But then if somebody else says anything, she just picks and chooses when she's going to be upset for TV, basically, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's doing it very well, though, I have to say. I know that Brittany's very polarizing with the audience, and even with me, because I saw her on Instagram the other day, and she was on Watch What Happens, and she's just like, every time I see her, she's annoying. You know, every time I see her, I'm like, oh, God, shut up. I mean, I didn't even listen to what she was saying on Instagram. I just saw her, like, waving around some lipstick and, like, you know, doing this sort of thing in the camera, and I just flicked through and rolled my eyes. Now, that said, I was very excited to see what Brittany was going to do today on this show, because she's just such a twit. You know?
Yeah. I've really grown to enjoy Brittany. In the beginning, I was like, oh God, she's just trying so hard. She's trying to really get that snowflake and it's just like all over her. But it's actually become the defining feature of her personality. I used to see that as a flaw. And now I see that as a feature, that she is so thirsty and desperate and that she never quite gets the attention that she feels like her moment deserves, which is why she's always making announcements.
She's always making fucking toasts.
So, to herself.
Then we go over to Angie and Sean talking about this. And she's still, you know, upset, of course. She's like, that was a fun night. I am so glad I went out of my way, too. And he's like, oh, how do you feel about it? Just tell me how you feel, babe. That's why I live a city from you, okay? That's why I sleep a city block away from you. I'm here for you.
I am pissed. You know, I felt like you and I went there with great intentions. Like, I went and congratulated her, and I went in with an open mind, an open heart, an open Acropolis. And I mean, she invited her to us to her bat mitzvah, which, you know, you don't just invite anyone to that, right? I'm like, have you been to a bat mitzvah? Have you been to a bar mitzvah?
Anybody with a wallet.
Welcome. Okay. This is okay.
It's the same as like a, it's like the same as we did, Catherine. When you come of ages, and when we have our 15-year-old party at the church, we're like, "Who's got a wallet? Get in here and donate some money to me." Praise Jesus.
No, this is okay. This is like okay. Well, okay. So we're gonna have like my cousins and everything, and like oh, and then also, well, you know, then it's like your dad's law partner, and your dad's law partner's dentist. And it's like everyone, we have to invite the Rosenbergs. Who are the Rosenbergs? I don't know, but we feel like we should invite them. Like it's a lot of people get bar and bat mitzvah invitations. In my school growing up, it was like you had to invite the whole class. In fact, actually, I didn't invite the whole class. but there were a lot of them where it was like, you like everyone, because I went to a small school for middle school. So it's like 50 people in the class. So you just blanket invite 50 kids right there, even if you don't like them. So yeah. Angie, welcome to bar and bat mitzvah land.
Yeah, you invite anybody you can to a bar mitzvah or any teenage thing where there is like you donate money to the child. I will invite everybody. I'm like, Dad, didn't you go to high school with people? Give him a call. Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Unfortunately for me, we had a lot of cheap people come to ours. I mean, there were a couple $20 bills, I guess, in that gift pile. But there was, I've talked about this before, but one gift I will never forget was I got a book called If God Loves Me, Why Can't I Get My Locker Open?
God,
my mom wouldn't let me
throw it away. To quote Whitney Rose, God did that.
I was so annoyed. I was like, throw this away. My mom was like, you're not throwing that away. That is like antichrist behavior. You're going to keep that as a Christian book. And I was like, I'm not reading that. She said, you don't have to read it, but you have to keep it on your shelf so that other people think that you've read it. Okay. You don't have to be a good Christian, but you better let other people think you're a good Christian. I was like, okay, geez. I had that book like till I was 20. I mean, till long after I'd moved out of my house, I just kind of kept it. Cause I was like, well, what if people see this on my shelf? You know,
wait, what event was this for, by the way?
It's not catechism. What is it called? It's like your coming of age party.
Confirmation.
Confirmation. Yes. Yes. Confirmation.
Yeah.
There's my confirmation.
I was like, it's not your bar mitzvah, right?
We didn't have to go to Hebrew school. We did have to go to Bible school and stuff, but then we had to serve time as acolytes and like carry stuff down the aisle in the procession and stuff like that.
Did you find any Michelin star restaurants?
It was not in Bogota or whatever. It was, you know, I did get to go to Juarez a couple of times, but that was mostly after hours and getting drunk. That was not church scheduled. Okay. Any sanctioned. Okay. Anyway. So Angie is like, well, you know, I have not stopped crying since Meredith kicked me out of her event. It was cruel. It was demeaning. Obviously she is harboring old feelings. And so she's so upset that she was kicked out of a spiritual event in front of her mother, in front of her children, in front of the oil change guy.
You know, honestly, I would be crying too if I got kicked out before I got to see Meredith Marks hoisted up in a chair in the middle of the horror. So yeah, I would be sobbing. I'd be like, wait, that's the main attraction. Wow. Okay. Now this, okay. Okay. Put the chair down. Okay. You want to talk about the chairs? We can talk about the chairs. Like seeing... Sorry, I was just imagining those kids, especially Brooke and Chloe, being hoisted in the chairs and just how blasé they'd be like, wow, we're in a chair.
That's my chair cool. is moving. This is unsafe. Oh.
Can you put me down now? Thanks.
You've got great arm strength. I thought it was really funny when she's like, well, I mean, Heather's plastic surgeon was there, so maybe that's why she invited us. Like, she doesn't have any friends. So she's like, how in the hell am I supposed to go to Puerto Vallarta with her? Because you're thirsty. You're thirsty as the rest of them. Don't act like you're not going to go to Puerto Vallarta. Come on.
Yes. Girl, you're about to get into a shampoo fight. Okay. So get ready. Buck up. You're about to do something that no housewife has ever done, which is throw two bottles of shampoo across the table. Dinner, yeah. Which is normally you don't even have that prop available for dinner. So, you know, get ready. It's going to be iconic for you.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show, American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history, presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Pearlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Pearlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like John Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
So then back at Meredith's, Chloe's like, well, honestly, what sent me was when Sean was like, Meredith, listen to both sides. And then we cut to Sean going, Meredith, you should listen to both sides, icon. Love you. Turn around. You don't have to pose for a selfie, but I can get us both in here. If you can't see yourself, I can't see you. Where are you going, Meredith?
I was like so mad. I was like, it was embarrassing how mad I was. So then Meredith's like, well, you know what? They spew lies. They gaslit me over and over again about the comments about you, about the comments about my hearing aids, about the comments about my white bean salad. And she's coming to celebrate me, and she makes fun of my impairment.
And then we see the flashback to Angie going, I need to get hearing aids like you or something, or check your hearing aids or whatever. And so Meredith's like, really? My disability? That's what she's coming for? And Brooks goes, girl, it's not a disability. It's your superpower.
Yes, Quinn! See, Sean gets it. So
Chloe's like, it's an enhancement.
Yeah, it's just like chic. Earphone. I mean, hearing aids are like so in right now. Huh?
So then, back at Angie's, it's a different time now. And Mary comes, and she's knocking on the big glass door, and there's nobody there. So she knocks again, and there's still nobody.
It's her new thing. It's her new thing. Being outside of a window and knocking.
Mary in front of some glass and watch her go.
they unlocked a new achievement for Mary. She does great prop work with windows. So she just lets herself in because she knows she can, because she sees the camera on the other side of the window. So she goes in, and then she just sits in this house. And like, you know, we've always commented on Angie's house being really, really white and sterile. But I felt like I really appreciated it even more. Like I really felt it just seeing Mary sitting in there and no one else was there. It was just this big white room. It looked like a padded cell or something like that. But like the only pops of color come from these really cheesy, like photo to canvases all over the place. Then there's like one of Angie with like a tiger. It's just such a bizarre space.
It really is. And I think she's added some color because she got made fun of last year. So there's like little blobs of pink blue everywhere now.
Yeah. And like blue elements, like this IKEA cup I'm holding. It's like this color randomly.
It's like Mary's house, you know, in level one before it just like by the end, it's like, what's that video game where you just splatter paint all over everything? I forget what it's called.
Splatoon.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes. So Angie comes and she gets scared, you know, and she's like, oh, I was getting ready for you. Make yourself at home. I'm working in the kitchen. So she brings out some charcuterie. And Mary's like, well, I probably won't be eating anything because I don't have an appetite, but it looks beautiful.
And she's like, oh, so you know what you're going to have to help me do is a comic bit where we open up champagne. And so they don't know how to open up champagne. And we see a flashback of them like 2 weeks ago not being able to do it. But now they're going to do it again.
And it was so funny. They're trying to open it. And there's two of them trying to get it off. And they go, let's just have some water.
Yes.
Can't they literally put it down and go get water? So then
it was like watching the entire Marx family slice an lemon together. Yeah.
Except they at least got the lemon slice. These two just gave up. But this time they did.
I know.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
So then now they're like talking about, oh my gosh, how do you pour this? And you know.
I'm like, I'm sort of shocked that they were so inept with champagne, especially Angie. I feel like Angie should know her way around a champagne glass, but she really didn't.
One important thing in being independent is at least know how to make your breakfast.
Yes, thank you. Also, honestly, if you're working in a salon, you should be pouring glasses of champagne to the bougie ladies, right? Isn't that like what we've learned from these shows? That when you go get your hair done, you get a glass of champagne with it?
I don't think salons that use sulfites do that.
Thank you for pointing that out.
So
if you cared about me, you would know that I can't have champagne with carotene in my hair.
I was so embarrassed for her. So they pour the champagne, and then Mary says she's been having a rough day. And Angie's like, did you really? What's going on? Because Mary doesn't tell her. She's goes, I had a rough day. And then Angie just nods and looks at her to talk, but Mary doesn't talk. Mm. So Angie's like, yeah. So what is it? So then Mary goes into it, and of course the salties start immediately squirting.
Oh my god!
This. I was like, again. God.
Yeah, and it was actually more. It was actually, she was talking about Robert Jr. She tells Angie that he's on drugs and everything. I didn't realize that heroin was in the mix last time, but now we know that there's heroin, and it's just so devastating.
There was a lot that people, you know, reading comments about the scene from last week, you know, being on Reddit or whatever, and reading all the comments. It was interesting reading them because, you know, there are a lot of people who think this is just wrong because he really doesn't have consent, because if he's high, then that's not really showing consent. And I mean, all of this, I don't necessarily agree with that. But yeah, they were saying, like, shame on Bravo for showing this. And, you know, there's like that element of people who are mad, you know, obviously right to your opinion or whatever. Like, there's a lot of sensitivity about it out there. I don't personally share that. But they were like, this is so insensitive of them. And it looks like Bravo actually was kind of sensitive and cut a lot of it out, because Mary's retelling it of it is like, you know how when your kids, you know, your kids are acting weird, and Angie just kind of looks at her. She goes, you know, when they're not telling you something, or when they're being quiet, or when they're hiding something from you. And Angie's like, well, no, like I can pull up my phone and show you what Electra is doing right now.
Electra just rolls her eyes at me a lot.
But Mary's like, no, I asked him what he was doing, and he told me, and boy, did he tell me. And then she starts listing all the stuff he was doing, and it was like, wow. And yeah, heroin's in there. And he's like, yeah, you know, because I tried this, I tried that. And then, you know, that led to other drugs like heroin and then Xanax and acid. And
Angie's very dialed in. I really appreciated the way Angie was there for Mary, actually. Also, Angie did the move that I enjoy, which is when she puts her hand slowly on her heart. I like when she does that. She does like a slow hand thing right here. She did that when last year too, during a scene. And I don't know why I enjoy that, but it was such an emotional scene. And Mary, what was also emotional was Mary's interviews that were cut through it. And she's like really sobbing on camera. And she's just like, she's beating herself up. She's like, what did I do wrong? How did I not see this? How did I not secure him enough so he knows his self-worth? She's talking about how he felt like he's a stain. And she's like, I prayed to God for 4 months that I could, like, you know, I worked for 4 months trying to have you. Like, I prayed for you to come here and for you to feel like you're a stain when you're like the answer to my dreams. It's just like, it was just gut-wrenching all over again.
Yeah. So, I think Angie says the right things here, which is she just listens mostly. And then the only pushback she really gives is like, you know, this isn't about whose fault. Like, it's not your fault. It's addiction. That's a disease, you know?
Yeah.
And you could do everything right and still have this happen, you know? And so Mary's not sure if she's going to be able to come to Mexico because of Robert. Like, she has to make sure Robert's good. And so that's that. And she basically says, you know, and Angie, I'm confiding in you. And she goes, this stays between us, pinky promise, which
I really hope that is.
I hope she doesn't do the thing, which is immediately going to everybody being like, guys, Mary's under the weather. Be nice, because her son's on heroin. Okay.
Exactly. I hope it does not become fodder, because it's like too real. It's not like some bullshit about Starbucks cups. But it was just honestly a beautiful scene. And I was like, I was also like, I know this episode's going to go crazy, because Ronnie texted me and said, this episode's so funny. So I was like, I love that they're like, okay, we're going to have a really funny episode, but first we're going to make you cry, and now we're going to make you laugh. Okay.
Yeah, they do it really
like only the show could do it. Like, the show does it so well. It can pivot like that.
Yeah.
So then everybody's packing. Whitney's picking a pink, you know, bathing suit and cover up and stuff. And she's like, well, I just need to find a pink bra and pink underwear. And Justin's like, isn't that a swimsuit cover? She goes, oh my God, that would go with pink. Good thinking. He's like,
okay.
Yeah. I've spotted two pink things and pointed at them to go together.
Wow.
Wow. So then 3 days later at the airport, Heather's like, I'm really excited for this trip. I think I'm pretty good with everybody and I have no bones to pick. And with airport security everywhere, everyone seems to be on their best behavior. And they do a little thing about how, like, who hates who and everything. And, you know, she's like, you know, Angie and Brittany can't stand each other. Meredith and Angie aren't even speaking. And Whitney and Lisa basically hate each other. Thanks, TSA. We're off to a great trip.
So then I never know what she's talking about. Sometimes I'm like, what are you even talking about? What is the TSA doing?
Nothing.
So Bronwyn is like, oh, wait, girls, do I have a gift for everybody? I do. Girls, everybody stop. I've got a gift for you. Thank you, gifts. And she bought them all diamond passport covers. And they're like, oh, my God, so cute. And Lisa's like, this is weird because Bronwyn called me to ask if she could bring something. Flashback. 1 week earlier, Bronwyn on the phone with Lisa. Should I bring something for the girls? Like, I should get a little gift for the girls, right? You doing something? I should, right? And she's like, you know what? I got a gift for everybody, so I just want you to show up. She's like, okay. And then she shows up with gifts.
Yeah. I think Bronwyn's mistake was saying it to Lisa, because if she just showed up with these passport holders, I don't think it's just like cute little tchotchkes. It's not like a thing. It's not stepping on anyone's toes. But if she ahead of time says to Lisa, should I bring something? And Lisa says, no, don't bring something. But then you bring something anyway. Now it's suddenly poor form. But the truth is this, at the end of the day, these are like tchotchkes, like maybe like each one is $12 or something like that. Honestly, they really should be like $3. But like, they're tchotchkes. And if this is going to step on Lisa Barlow's gift, it makes me wonder what Lisa's Barlow gift is going to be.
Yes. So then, let me see here. I'm looking.
Well, she hands out the passport holders
article because, so she passes out the holders and then she talks about how she was attacked by a dog and,
she's got bruises and bites all up her leg and her arm.
It is crazy to see how badly this dog attacked her. Like, it is not good. It is really, really bad.
And she's like, yeah, I'm doing better. I got some stitches. Now I've got to go to Mexico.
But you know what was super weird about it is the gossip that's been going around about this couple, which hasn't been that much, surprisingly. But well, one of them is that they were separated for a while, you know, so that's been going around on the old internet. And I'm reading this on All About the Tea. But this was from the U.S. Sun, I guess, originally. But court documents obtained by the U.S. Sun reveal that Bronwyn and Todd lived in separate states between 2016 and 2018, with him residing in San Francisco, her in Park City. The arrangement came to light after a lawsuit was filed against the couple following a 2016 incident where their boxer dog allegedly attacked a woman. Isn't that crazy? Mm. There's like a lot of dog attack things around Bronwyn and Todd. And by the way, I'm not like, I have no conspiracy or anything. I just thought it was odd that came up on the show. And she was the one who was attacked because I had read the other stuff about their dog attacking somebody. Allegedly.
Wow. Are you saying there may be a conspiracy where it was actually she was attacked by her dog?
No, I'm just saying. No. I really have no conspiracy. I just thought it was weird that I just read about that the other day. And so when I heard dog attack was coming on the show this week, I thought it was going to be someone being like, oh, really? Take care of your dog who attacked a lady in the street or something like that. But no, Bronwyn got attacked. And this was just after another dog attack a few years ago. I don't know. What does it matter? It's just useless things that are taking up space in my brain.
The point is this.
Train your dogs.
She's there. How about that? By the way.
How about we all tie it together with train your fucking dogs. And if your dog is aggressive, put a thing around its mouth. What do you do?
Yeah. Muzzle.
Yeah. What the fuck?
You know, trained. You know, keep an eye on your dog. You know, keep your... Tom Colicchio gives dog advice. Keep an eye on your dog. So... Bronwyn. So anyway, she's like this is pretty serious. She got really taken down by this dog. And Brittany's like, well, do you know that Chanel heals all wounds? So you're good. I have an announcement to make. Chanel has healed my heart from Jared. because we're back together. Anyone? Hey, did you guys go through security without me?
So now we're in Puerto Vallarta. And, you know, they get in. Prom was being really overly nice to Lisa. She's like, Lisa, you're going to fall. You're going to fall into that van with those shoes on, you little peanut.
I know. I just spilled my drink. And Brahman's like, oh my God, you're spilling it everywhere. Yeah, I'm in heels. Like, what was I thinking? And like, by the way, the airplane bathroom, it was so disgusting. I couldn't even bother to ditch a ring in there for insurance. It was so gross.
And Heather's like, that was me. I didn't want to sit on it. And there was some turbulence. So I just peed everywhere. Well, clean up your piss. What is wrong with you?
Clean it up.
Jeez.
Clean it up. I mean, like, I think I've told the story before. I remember once seeing an interview with Ruth Buzzi, and she said, you don't know how many airplane bathrooms I've cleaned up because I don't want to come out of a bathroom. And the next person goes in and says, wow, I can't believe how messy Ruth Buzzi is. So she just goes and cleans up every bathroom she's in the airplanes.
Heather literally does not care.
Yeah.
So she's like, guys,
you know what? This trip's going to be amazing. I promise. I made a PowerPoint for everybody. I want dinner to be perfect. I want every activity to be perfect. The flowers, the villa. What food is there on arrival? It is covered in this PowerPoint.
Yeah, the notes app is no match for a Lisa Barlow trip. So they go to this resort called Vidanta World, which I'm sure Lisa only picked because... The first four letters are Vita. Guys, I made a resort based off my tequila. Yeah, we're going to go there.
Well, Vita sort of means like life, as we know. And I wouldn't be surprised because we find out this is where Vita is actually made. I wouldn't be surprised if Lisa just stayed here once. I was like, well, what should we name the tequila? Vidanta. Just that's too long. Just take out a couple letters.
All right, send it in. Send it in.
Vita. So they meet the staff. There's like a butler. They go into the beautiful, of course, beautiful villas. Everything's gorgeous. But we also find out that the way they are going to be arranged is in two separate villas that are next to each other. And each villa has four bedrooms and they're identical. But of course, this now means the group has to be split in half.
Yes. So she's like, okay, so we have two villas. I'm going to split us. So in this villa, we have Meredith, Heather, me, and Brittany. And then in the other, we've got Bronwyn, Angie, Whitney, and soon to be Mary, probably, maybe. Who knows?
And so then she starts doing the math, like the Salt Lake City math of why she's putting everybody where she's putting them. And so she's saying she's good with everybody but Whitney, which is so funny because that's like absolutely not true. Like literally everybody's coming for Lisa at all times. And Whitney doesn't like Meredith and Angie's not good with Meredith. So Whitney and Angie, they're sliding all these faces on the screen. And as it goes, it really is a crazy rubber face shell game. I'm like, how can anybody concentrate on which one the peanut's under?
I know. This gives me a new appreciation for which one the peanuts. I'm sorry. I just love this. Like, well, someone put a peanut under my shoe. I don't appreciate that. Bat mitzvahs are not for hate, and peanuts can kill someone, and that is hate.
Well, it's just like it's all the faces change so much. Like, you can't play a shell game with those faces because by the time you stop all the shells, Meredith's face is going to have morphed 20 different times. You can't even write. Like, today, for example, Meredith and Brooks both were in that first scene. And they both had eyebrows that I swear to you were 2 inches lower than they were in any other scene in any other episode. I don't know how that happened. And now they're back to normal again. Like, how do you do that? Those are microbladed eyebrows. They don't just move around. I mean, are they lifting their eye? Are they lowering? Do people get eyebrow lowered?
Maybe it's a new trend. Maybe it's a new trend in Utah.
People are just like going for the Jude eyes. They're just like, bring my hairline down, my eye. They're just going like this.
I'm
going to start it.
So basically, this will be the thumbnail, Christina. So basically, you're all solidarity. Okay, so in one villa we have Meredith, Heather, Lisa, and Brittany. The other villa is Bronwyn, Angie, Whitney, and Mary. I have to say, when Lisa was going through the reasons why this person couldn't be with this person or that person, I actually felt like the logic kind of panned out. Like, I didn't think it was, you know, it becomes a big discussion about, like, Lisa was trying to send a message. She may have been doing that, but I also think the logic was fairly sound, because I think if Brittany were in the other villa, that just, I don't know if that would have really worked so well. So, you know, I just want to put that out there. Like, a little bit of some justice for Barlow. I mean,
it made sense to me, too, but literally everything makes sense to me. That's why I can't be on a jury, because I believe everybody at all times. Like, I'll believe the defense, and then I'll believe the prosecution, and then I'll believe the next one, and then I'll believe that, you know, when everyone calls him a liar, I'll believe that, too. I believe everything.
Wait. I feel like you don't believe everything. I feel like you're the skeptic and I'm the one who always falls for everything. Aren't I the one who's always like, you know what? She apologized and I really mean it. And you're like, hell no, Ben. She was just saying that to get screen time.
But then I'm pretty easily swayed, I think. Because, like, what I mean is the next week, like 1 week with Bronwyn, I'm like, oh God, this woman's trash. I don't like her at all. And then the next week, I'm like, oh, she's great. I hope she has a 10-year career on this show. And then the next week, I'm like, told you so about Bronwyn sucking. And then the next second, like, I just change. I flip-flop because get new information and it changes my whole opinion. I mean, there are some people I'm just stubborn about no matter what. But I think it's just because they're so consistently dicks. Like Kyle, like I said in the Beverly Hills, I forgive Kyle every year. It's just that she gives me fresh stuff to be annoyed by every year. It's not like it's old stuff, you know? But yeah. I can be very easily, my mind can be very easily changed.
Well, listen, me too. I think someone should just hang us up at a seaside shack and call us flip-flops, because that's what we are.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, proud to be. It's called having an open mind. An open, empty mind.
Open mind, open heart.
It's so empty that it's been robbed multiple times. So there's literally nothing left, okay?
I think everyone knows the defining feature of our podcast is our open hearts.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what I was actually surprised at was when Lisa's going on about the villa arrangements, I'm just thinking, okay, this is just exposition. This is fun to see, but it's just exposition. And I was shocked that right away we went right into drama, because Bronwyn's like, I want, because she's already starting to do her puckered lips and doing that. She's like already nodding by the door jamb. She's like, It's like, Bronwyn, no one talking to you right now. Stop nodding.
She really is.
Like the rage just gets her head nodding, you know?
She also just has this broken look on her face. I mean, listen. What one thing that I think Bronwyn does really, really well that's like a housewife classic trait that you have to have is that she just gets so offended. I mean, she's just so offended at every little thing. It's like, oh, I can't believe. And she really has that look of just, you have wrecked my whole world. I called you peanut today. I called you peanut.
And it wound up under my shoe. So Bronwyn is like, she's like, I want to laugh, but really, I'm just so fucking furious. And you know, she's really mad because she starts to tilt over in her interview. That's the other, that's her other sign, is that when she's in her like crazy outfit, she starts going off to the side.
She does do that.
She literally gets off kilter. And so she's like, I want to laugh, but really, I'm just so fucking furious about this rooming situation. Lisa is my closest friend in this group. So I'm like, are you on an ATV right now, lady? Why are you bouncing and tilting so much?
It's the head for me. And what's I noticed the head just constantly nodding and shaking. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. But she's like, oh, and if Lisa is sending me a message, well, I got the message loud and clear, being put in my place. And oh, and now I need to claw and beg and plead my case back into Lisa's good graces. Well, she might have to plead her way back into my good graces after this snub.
I demand an apology.
Oh my God. I love that she acts like she's been best friends. You have been on Lisa's neck this entire season. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's so good. Bronwyn's in her room and she's like, well, I'm going to need a bigger closet than this, Lisa Barlow. I'm going to need a bigger closet. And Angie is like, but I love your room. What? So, by the way, what do you think about the little teams in the villas? And Wendy's like, that was an interesting separation, right? How did Bronwyn get kicked off of the Cool Girls Club, huh?
I mean, I didn't like what Bronwyn did at the party. There were a lot of questionable things that she was doing and saying, and I can see why they don't want her over there. And then Bronwyn was like, hi, ladies, am I interrupting? Am I interrupting, ladies? I'm going to talk in this high voice because I just heard everything you said, but I'm not going to yell at you right now because I need allies today, ladies.
Please come line in.
So they're like, how are you feeling? She's like, well, I just wanted to know what you guys are wearing tonight. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to be wearing tonight. Oh, God, Whitney, did you just bring cover-ups? If I looked like you, I'd wear cover-ups all the time, too. Look at me. Look how nice I'm being to you. Do you like that? I like that. You like that? Yes. You're friends with me? Yes.
Just want to remind you all, there's a 75% chance I'm carrying rabies at the moment. Okay, great. So Whitney's like,
can I have some salsa with these rabies?
Oh, is that why you got kicked out of the Mean Girls Club? And Bronwyn's like, I don't know what I've done to Lisa. She knows I was physically attacked by a dog, and I physically feel awful. And of all people, Lisa knows what I'm going through with Gwen and how heavy it weighs on me, and that I lost my Starbucks card. So yeah, I think I would deserve to be in the villa with her. I'm like, that has nothing to do with being next door or in the same villa.
Yeah. So then we cut to Bronwyn at a restaurant with Lisa and John. And she's talking about how she wants to advocate what's best for her daughter in this whole situation, but she doesn't know what's best for her daughter. And John's like, well, I was adopted as a baby, and Lisa tried for years to find my birth parents. And, you know, she had this Hollywood ending, like doors would open, doves would fly out. The final thing would come up on the screen and say, tequila furnished by Vita, you know. And Lisa's like, it was the exact opposite. And John's like, yeah, she said once the baby was born, she never thought about it again. Okay, listen, adopt lady who gave your kid up for adoption. The fucking kind of monster, what kind of monster are you to say that to somebody? I mean, even if that's how you felt, they tracked you down, they brought you to fucking brunch, and that's what you're going to tell the kid? Like, my God, fuck off. At least say, I've thought about you sometime. Like, every time I see the movie Rambo, I wonder if that's my big, strong boy. I mean, make something up. Do I have to do everything for you people?
Well, the weirdest part was that the mother was Linda. And I was like, really? God, so he's related to Monica? So, by
and
the way,
then she pushed me down the stairs. Wait a minute.
And then she started talking to the plant and said, you're my real daughter. And I said, but I'm a son and my son. You're my son and my daughter. So I think what's kind of weird is, like, I feel like low key John's adoption story keeps popping up all season. And he's like, because I think they keep mentioning it. She's like, yeah, I've been looking up John's birth parents on Ancestry. And he's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And then he finds out.
Him. Yeah, she forced him. He asked her not to. They said it on the after show that he asked her not to, and she did it anyway. I mean, that's like, you can't do that. So Brahman's like, okay, well, if you could choose to go back and do it again, would you, John? And he's like, no. I mean, who would, you know? Like, who wants to be rejected again? I mean, I do. You know, I'm that kind of person. Like, if someone rejects me, I'll just, like, a year later, I'll be like, oh, my gosh, they're on Facebook. I'm going to be like, oh, hey, how you doing? And they're like, still no, Ronnie. Still fucking no, okay? Stop messaging me on Facebook.
Oh, man, you should hang out with Kenya Moore. So Bronwyn is like, I've known Lisa almost 10 years. And I would say since she introduced me to you guys, I think our friendship has been a bit hit or miss. And I don't know what's going on, but I don't feel super close to Lisa. And I feel every time I try to tell her, I don't feel super close to her. She reminds me that we are close and everything is fine. And then I see everybody in a group setting and it's not the case. And then next thing I know, I'm hanging out with you three idiots. I mean, sorry, I love you guys, but you guys are idiots. You guys know. You guys are in the cool club.
Say I love you guys. She's literally just like, and now I'm with you. I'm like, gross.
She does
say that. Gross. This is disgusting. And she did it last week to Brittany and Maylee too. And she's like, oh God, whoever thought I'd be stuck with you two?
she literally did that.
She's a snob because she looks at the other group as being the leads of the show. And she doesn't care about fucking Lisa. That's why she's coming for Lisa. She's coming for like one of the top dogs. But I think she sees the other ones as leads of the show. And she's like, oh, and now they're going to put Brittany in my place. Like Brittany's the newbie they're going to elevate. Oh, hell no.
She really just has stepped into this role so well. So Whitney is like,
Bronwyn was so quick to throw Angie and I under the bus at camp day just to stay in good graces with Lisa and Heather. But look what it got you, because now you're stuck with us with a tail between your legs. Wait, why does she have a tail? Someone get the doctor.
That's weird, because with the tail between her legs, she looks like she has a wiener.
Thank you for correcting my pronunciation. It is Till.
So Bronwyn's like, I just feel really weird about this rooming. I mean, that's not what I would expect my good friend to do, is put me over here while she and Brittany and Heather and Meredith fucking get best tattoos together. Like, I don't even know what's happening over there. Okay. With everything I'm going through, and what about my impairment? Hey, you can't take that from me. Well, it's mine now.
So then we go to Lisa's room, and Meredith's like, well, how are you feeling about everyone here?
And she's like, oh my gosh, so bad, because Bronwyn called me and was like, hey, do you want me to bring something for everyone? And I'm like, no, don't, because I've got gifts for everyone. So I like, I felt like a little like weird, like, are you like giving everyone like a gift?
It's like, she didn't give out Chanel bracelets. She gave out tchotchkes from CVS.
But I do agree with you that Bronwyn did this shit on purpose by being like, hey, do you want me to is it okay if I bring gifts? And Lisa said no. And then she did it anyway. Like, that's shitty, you know? Because originally I would have been the same way. I would have been like, who cares? More gifts, the more gifts, the better. But to ask somebody and then purposely be like, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want when you're the hostess. When we saw what she was like when she was the hostess. But then again, we also saw how Lisa acted towards her when she was the hostess. So I don't know that anyone's going to really win this one.
Yeah. So she is not. Where are we? I got lost. I know we're generally where we are.
But it felt weird because, like, it's my trap. Like, why are you bringing gifts? Like, I have stuff for everybody. I do. Like, I told you not to bring a gift. Like, don't have to bring a gift. If, oh my God, if it's Grey Goose, I'm going to kill everybody.
So Meredith is like, well, do you think it was just,
I guess I should have said, like, Patron.
Okay, well, thank you for correcting the terrible joke. Well, do you think it was just kind of like a screw you, or do you think she just sort of already ordered it and just thought, I'll do it anyway? You know, it does take a long time for things to get delivered from Ollie.
No, I felt like she was like, I'm going to do what I want, and I don't care if it's Lisa's trip, because I spent $35 on passport holders from Spencer's Gifts, and she's just going to hand them out no matter what I say.
So basically, she's like, Bronwyn is always annoyed with me if I don't do exactly what she wants, but then she doesn't care about how I feel, and she does whatever she wants.
And I'm kind of over her. So how do you feel with Andrzej? I made sure she was in another villa just so it wasn't uncomfortable. And Meredith's like, I appreciate that, and so do any sluts in the near vicinity.
You know what? It's just not, you know, she says so many mean things to so many people in front of so many toddlers. I mean, whether it's slut shaming, whether it's shaming someone's business, whether it's shaming someone's ability to understand the difference between a spoon and a plane coming into the hangar. It's just, I've had enough.
What's she going to do to top herself? Go to a handicapped spot, wait for someone to park, call him a slut while they're trying to walk into the business that they own?
Justice for slutty impaired people
with companies.
So, with companies and toddlers celebrating becoming a woman. So Lisa's like, well, she better be on her best behavior, like the best behavior. So now it's dinner. We're getting ready for dinner time. And by the way,
no one has congratulated me on being a character in this episode. I love that that I'm basically the butler in this episode. The second he came on, I was like, really? Am I being trolled? Because that is literally me. Even I thought it was me for a minute. Rudy the butler. I was like, is that me? Have I blacked that out?
Rudy Kirim. Yeah. Like, wait a second. I've had enough of this.
So Meredith's like, Rainy, would you do me a favor and take this bag and put it on a chair down at dinner? And he's like, yes, girl, icon. She's like, thank you. Love your podcast. I was like, thank you. Will you send me some bath bombs when they're ready? She's like, sure will. I'm going to send you a special surprise one. Oh,
and one more thing, Rudy. You are enough. And if you can't get into your locker, that's okay.
It's not God's fault. We're tying now. So Meredith's like, okay, so now, blah, 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 blah. So we see what she's talking about on a flashback after the bat mitzvah when Meredith is opening gifts. And she goes, well, let's see what her thoughtful gift is. And Seth goes, what is that, dish soap? And she pulls it out. And it's not only shampoo and conditioner. It is gigantor bottles of shampoo and conditioner. It's like they're shampoo and conditioner that ain't ever going to run out.
That is industrial size. It's not even Costco size. That's industrial size. It's a huge amount. But it's so big, it doesn't really feel like a gift. It's like, it doesn't feel like...
Her own brand.
It's also her own brand.
Gifts to people on their bat mitzvah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a weird choice. And Meredith is like, well, looks like we have shampoo and conditioner from her own salon. Can you read the ingredients? And Chloe's like, yeah. There's sulfate in this one. Ew, really? Yeah. Gross.
There's also gluten and possibly dairy. I'll have to investigate. Ew. Are you disgusting. Drinking the shampoo? Stop that. The point is, it was not thoughtful. It was not thoughtful at all. Because she knows I cannot use that shampoo. I have keratin in my hair. And it needs a sulfate-free shampoo. So she can have it.
The largest offense of all, a sulfate shampoo for your keratin infused hair.
She's so offended. I can't wait for Bronwyn and Meredith to get into it, because these are the most offended people in the Bravo
scene. Beautifully. Beautifully.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see them both get into it together.
Ugh, it's so wonderful. So now they're all getting onto the golf carts to go to dinner, and Lisa's like, is there air conditioning? And then they get to the bar. I couldn't tell if she was joking or not. I'll be honest. I couldn't tell.
I don't think she was joking. They're like, Lisa, we're outside. It's like, whatever.
I wish they realized. You know what? If they were making an effort, they would have put some flaps on this golf cart, because my keratin hair is not reacting well to the humidity. And we only have about 5 minutes before my scalp bursts out into flames. So come on, hurry up.
But may, oh, so then they get to the restaurant and they go sit down and they're like, oh my God, a lovely place. Ding, 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 ding. Girls, I have an announcement. Oh God, fucking Brittany. Oh my God.
Girls, I just want everyone to know that I'm finally part of this world. I was like, oh, okay, Brittany. You don't have to go back to Disney Tokyo. She was like, okay, sorry.
That was the latest video I saw of her, was her singing as Ariel.
Ariel? I would picture her as more of a bell, like, bonjour, 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 bonjour. It's like just annoying everybody down the street with books she doesn't read. Because, you know, Brittany's got bookcases full of books she doesn't read. She's just one of those people.
Well, also, I'm surprised that she has not made that the cornerstone of one of her big scenes. Like, guys, it's just so strange. I walk up to the group and no one says hello to me. I'm just used to just walking down the street and people saying, hello, hello, good morning. I mean, admittedly, it was in a musical on stage in Tokyo in 1999, but still, like, it's part of my personality now.
She gets fired from Disney Tokyo because they're like, listen, we can't have Belle complaining that the Beast and her keep breaking up every day. Okay? It's just not. Can't have that. We can't have Belle interrupting the light parade to announce that
she has been
basically made official in a Costco. Okay? It just doesn't. It's a family place.
Listen, Brittany. You have a beautiful singing voice. We love what you've done here in Disney Tokyo. But the thing is this, it really takes the audience out of the show when you turn to them and you make an announcement and say, hey, I have an announcement, everyone. I now have legs. We know, we see, we're watching the show. You don't have to announce it to the audience. Stupid. Everyone, I have to say, I'm back together with the Beast. See, again, you just did it. You're ruining it.
Yeah, fucking stupid Brittany. So Brittany makes an announcement, and everybody's just quiet because literally Brittany makes an announcement every day. And Lisa's like, yeah, it's like every 5 seconds. Ding, ding, ding. I have an announcement to make. I'm going to the bathroom. She's like, guys, this is serious. You guys, you know that I've been struggling with hair. Angie, shut up. I've been struggling with my daughters not talking to me and stuff. But oh my gosh, Olivia, we have made such progress, guys.
They're like, okay. I'm just like, no, well, she came over the other night. She hung out with her friend. We talked for hours. And guys, she spent the night. It's huge. They're like, okay. And Meredith's like, well, that's amazing. And on top of that, you have an eyelash on your cheek. So you get to make a wish. Here, I'll make the wish for you. I wish for Brittany to disappear. Oh, shoot. I shouldn't have said it out loud. Sorry.
Can I have a question? When your daughter was at your home, did she slut shame you? No. I should have invited her to my mom. It's fine. I would have been a good guest. So Brittany's like, guys, this is a really big deal. I have two beautiful daughters from my first marriage, and they're not currently speaking to me because of things that happened in my second marriage. Girl, you already told us why they aren't speaking to you, because you prioritized a man over your kids, and they said, fuck you, and got rid of you. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't talk to you either. God knows what that man wanted or did. Terrible. Terrible lady.
But guess
Please
what?
Stay on the show forever.
We're finally making progress. And finally making progress on this front. And no one says anything. Dude, ouch. Which is true. But that's what happens when you make too many stupid announcements, that when you actually have a decent announcement to make, no one even cares anymore.
The girl who cried erasure. But also,
I would love to cry.
Also,
erasure.
It's like not something that you announce at a group dinner. It's just weird and needy and sad and desperate, you know? Love you. So then,
no. Also, the way you do it is you don't bring it on yourself. What you do is you pout at the table and look sad. And when someone says, "Brittany, what's wrong?" Well, it's just I'm going through a lot right now. You know, my daughters have erased me, but one of them's back. And then you go from there. But like, if you try to force it when someone else is trying to have a scene about something else, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not your trip. Like, yeah, do it in the right way. There are processes. Yeah. There's like a bureaucracy here. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthews Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.